The sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month. Experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Max Verstappen wins his 50th race in 75 races, but it was far from straightforward. Welcome to the Grid Talk podcast. My name is Tom Horrocks, and we are kicking off our first race in Pride Month with our review of the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. Joining me today, we have Grid Talk's MVP, Ruby Price.
Hello.
Our man on the ground and local hero, Jonah Gould.
Hello.
And DNF1 podcast host, Adam Burns.
Hello, everyone.
And before we get into this episode, we just have to thank our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all the NBA finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on to our because online casino and get in the game with blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 plus slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action and use promo code BELIEVE, which is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome discount on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And also, please be sure to follow us on our social channels at GridTalk UK to stay up to date with the show. So we're going to kick off today with the usual race winner, but in very different circumstances. And we're going to kick off with yourself, Adam. Max Verstappen, a race of strategy and survival today, and he won the race, but it wasn't the usual story, was it? Was it a bit on the fortuitous side?
I mean, yeah, there was definitely an element of fortune with the safety car coming out at a convenient time for him to obviously help him out. At the midpoint of the race, I think on the Red Bull pit wall, they were citing that as a bit of payback after what had happened in Miami, where it went against him and favoured Lando Norris. This time, it seemed to favour Max a little bit more. But I think, as they said at the end of the race, you know, there was a lot of strategy calls, there was a lot of changeable conditions, and you really had to be in it to win it. And I think, to be fair to Max, when a few drivers were making mistakes around him, or perhaps coming in a bit too soon, or not coming in soon enough to change the inters for the dries, Max and Red Bull made the right call at the right time. And I think once Max got out in front, especially during the final safety car period, there was that little bit of trepidation. Will Lando get him? But Max kept his nerve despite everything else that was thrown at him and got the win. And this is something that we've often associated with Max. It's very hard to really get to Max and almost make him unflappable at this point. And I think he's proven once again that despite all the chaos that was going on around him, the one constant that often remains in Formula One these days is Max Verstappen wins the Grand Prix. So yeah, a little bit of fortune, but I think it's just Max doing what he does at the moment, and that's why he's the top dog in F1.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, as you said, with Miami, the safety car benefiting Norris there. Definitely today, Jonah, we had two safety cars that seemed to count against our second place man, Lando Norris, but he wasn't flawless on track either. So was this one that got away from McLaren, or was it the correct result?
You know what? Honestly, I think it could be a little bit of both. It could be one that got away from McLaren. I mean, that I don't fully understand their decision not to bring Lando in under the first safety car. I mean, he pulled 8 seconds on Max. A little inconvenient that he caught up with the safety car, but I don't really understand it. Maybe it's to prevent double stacking with Oscar, but I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, as Adam said, Max seems to be unflappable and he just doesn't make many mistakes. So you got to be on the ball and you got to have everything go your way to beat Max. So could it be one that got away? Yeah, but also could have been one that maybe they just weren't all there. I mean, on the mediums when the track was drying up, the McLarens didn't look like they were super pacey, definitely slower than the two Mercedes in the back half of the race. But I think that McLaren should be happy with a second place. And I mean, if you're second behind Max, you might as well count that as a win because no one else is beating that guy.
Yeah, fair point. I mean, I had my eyes glued to the driver tracker at the time of the safety car. And unfortunately, at that time, Lando Norris had already committed to the corner. So he just did too good a job and was too far ahead. So that was definitely on the unlucky side. And then catching the safety car, everyone else was doing their deltas and he was driving at a snail's pace behind the safety car. So that's why he wasn't able to get in and out in time. So that part of it certainly was unlucky. But yeah, certainly didn't have the pace of the Mercedes in the second half of the race. But over to you, Ruby, for the first of the Mercedes there, George Russell, pole to third. He surely must be annoyed with that. Toto had to tell him to calm down at one point. And is George's temperament an issue here? Or was it just he was pushing a bit too hard?
I definitely think he was pushing very hard this Canadian Grand Prix. You know, he was getting his muscles out, getting his elbows out into corners and stuff. And, you know, there were times where it paid off again for him. You know, the move to put himself back into P3 and back on the podium ahead of his teammate where it paid off. Whereas previously, a few laps earlier against Piastri in the same chicane, it didn't pay off. The stewards went with a racing incident, I'd agree. But yeah, this is sort of a trend for George Russell, really, of being in promising positions, you know, being forecast podiums and wins, and ultimately not getting those. You know, we've seen across this weekend, in the limited running that we've had, like the Mercedes has been a relatively quick car at points, particularly during those times between where it's been wet and drying. And, you know, we saw the quicker cars being the Mercedes, apart from Verstappen, who was just free to run away. But ultimately, you know, didn't really capitalize on the performance that the cars had and really should have probably been P1 or P2, save for some mistakes.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough again as well. Just a couple of mistakes here and there creeping in for George. But yeah, Mercedes definitely seemed to be back based on that performance. Probably just the track specific thing, but don't know really. But a strong weekend overall for them. Oscar Piastri next, Adam, as we were going to talk about another race where he looked to be genuinely a lot quicker than Norris at times. Yet race pace once again seems to have let him down. Is this starting to become a problem, or are we just expecting a bit too much of him at this early stage of his career?
I think it's a fair question. I would say overall, I think his progress has been very noticeable this year. I think at the moment he is right where McLaren needs him to be. He is very much right on the heels of his teammate at the best of times. And I think we saw a lot of that this weekend where Oscar was always there. If Lando wasn't able to deliver his absolute best, Oscar was always there to sort of, you know, play that team role and put himself in that position to take advantage. And I think his form, especially in the last few races, would speak volumes to that and a huge testament to that. So no, I don't think it's a cause for concern with Piastri right now. As I said, I think he's where McLaren needs him to be. Today there were moments where, you know, could he have beat Lando or could he have had a challenge to Verstappen at the front? I mean, let's not forget, there was that radio call with his engineer asking him if they swapped positions with the McLarens, could he do 17-4s to try and put pressure on Max? And he responded by saying, well, I've got Russell to worry about at the moment, who was all over the back of him. So I think it was a decent weekend for Oscar. I think, like, you know, like Norris in a way and other aspects of McLaren, I think they'll be disappointed that they ended up with two Mercedes in between those two McLarens, because I think a double podium was very much on for them. But I think if you'd have offered them this result with Ferrari with a double DNF, I think they probably would have been pretty happy with it. And I think for Oscar in particular, I think this is just another step in his development where he is making progress, but we do need to be patient with him. I think there's a bit too much expectation that this guy is going to be an incredible talent and is going to be a future star. I think he will be those things, but I think we have to be mindful that this is only his second season in F1. And he's mixing it up with the best drivers on the grid right now on a weekly basis. So, no, I don't think we should be worried about him at this point in time.
Yeah, fair point again there. I remember coming on this very show in the early days and saying that I'm worried about Lando Norris's race pace because he's a demon qualifier, but doesn't seem to have it in the race. So how that has changed around, and he's certainly in a more competitive car on the same trajectory that Lando Norris was in his early days. So absolutely a star in the making, but like you say, definitely in the making at the moment. So ploughing through this, but we're moving on to Aston Martin now, Jonas. So double points and genuine pace, it seemed. And your man as well, scoring points. Are Aston back in that pocket behind the top four? Are they going to be back fighting for podiums again for Fernando Alonso, at least? Anyway, what's your opinion on Aston Martin's progress in their race?
I don't think they're going to be back to fighting for podiums just yet. And I'm not saying that's off the table, but I don't think we're going to get to there quite yet. Now, there are some fortunate things, you know, some cars that probably should be ahead of the two Aston Martins, not ahead of the two Aston Martins this weekend, but that's not to take away from the performance that we saw from them, right? I mean, 6-7, Alonso Stroll, Canadian boy scores points at home. I don't think there's anything to complain about from those guys. It's a trajectory of up at this point. I mean, we've seen Aston's form at the beginning of the season hasn't been great. They're going upwards, and when you're really at the bottom, the only way to go is up. Now, podiums, I don't know. The upper midfielder, or if you want to call it that, is really, really strong this year. We can see podiums and the chances of wins from, you know, four different teams now, and even three different teams have won, right? McLaren, Ferrari, and Red Bull. So I think that it's possible, maybe in the later season, if they can put the right upgrades on those cars, that Alonso can be up at the front. I don't know necessarily about Lance Stroll, but I also think that the wet weather was a little helpful today, and the changeable conditions were helpful to those two Aston Martins, because as we know, the great equalizer in Formula One is just a little bit of water. So I think that might have helped them, but they should be happy with that. They should be completely content with getting both cars in the points, especially on home soil for not only Stroll, but technically the team, although it is Aston Martin, they're technically Canadian. So yeah, I think that it's good for them, but I don't know if they're back quite yet. Maybe if it's raining, they might be back, but in the dry, I'm interested to see how they perform in the dry.
Yeah, I think the double Ferrari retirement and Perez being the points as well definitely probably helped elevate them a little bit there as well. But good to see them back in the points there and doing well. But if you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you could take 5 to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you haven't yet subscribed to the channel, please do so. Please consider helping us out with a like and subscribe as well. That'd be fantastic, just to help us boost up the ratings there. So moving on then, Ruby, we're talking about RB next, or Visa Cash App, whatever you want to call them this week. Now, Jacques Villeneuve had some choice words to say about Daniel Ricciardo from what I hear. Didn't hear the comments myself, but I've seen a transcript of them. He was the driver who made the least mistakes today and was the one that got the headline result, and Tsunoda having a good race, but having a late incident as well. How did you see the RB's race? And do you think Jacques Villeneuve has had one too many for that comment? Or do you agree with him?
I mean, there's a lot of people who follow F1 that will think that Jacques Villeneuve has had many too many before he makes any comment that comes out of his mouth. What I will say is that the RB's didn't get off to a great start in this race, both of them falling back very quickly, almost off the line, despite the fact of one of their drivers allegedly making a false start. Like, we watched the replay and I couldn't see anything that actually indicated that he'd made one. But, you know, there is that sort of precedent for a reaction time that is too perfect for you to have actually reacted to it. So it's possible that that's what's happened. But, you know, I do want to see more details on that before, you know, I could say either way. But ultimately, the stewards went one way, he served that penalty, and even if they were to remove it, as we were discussing before we started this show, he is 0.05 of a second too far back from Lance Stroll for it to make a difference to his race result if they were to give him 5 seconds back of his race time. But ultimately, Ricciardo did have what is on paper a good race. You know, a bit like paper in the rain, it does come apart at times. But Yuki Tsunoda being the driver who, you know, made a great stint work on his original inters, still going on lap 34, being up in P8. But then, you know, after the second second safety car restart, I think it was, unless it was his safety car, I am misremembering now. Second guessing myself midpoint. Well done, Ruby. But, you know, ultimately, spinning a bit on the grass, bringing it round, almost causing what could have been a horror collision, considering, you know, this wasn't even Monaco, whilst trying to, you know, follow the thing that they're supposed to go past when they go off at that corner. But ultimately, RB could have performed a lot, could have come away with a stronger result if it weren't for a little bit of wet grass. But, you know, a strong result nonetheless, I think, for Daniel Ricciardo after, you know, starting off this weekend with some scathing comments headed his way by a driver who you know, isn't a Daniel Ricciardo fan. I think his comments in the past have said a lot about that, and it does echo a lot of what people are saying. You know, why is Daniel Ricciardo still F1 at this point? Is he not a bit of a spent Forbes?
Yeah, valid point as well. I can see Jonah there flapping his Canadian flag in the background there at the Shadfield comments. So yeah, no, I just saw that. No, he's very, very, he's always been a bit of a character, likes to make headlines with what he says. So, but I'm sorry, Adam, we've got to do it. We've got to talk about Ferrari next. We've delayed talking about them. A double DNF, terrible strategy decision on Leclerc's side of the garage. A driver making a bad error and ending someone else's race. Has the old Ferrari returned, or is this just a flash in the pan?
Well, I certainly hope not, I think is the answer to your question. But yeah, it's a really tough weekend for Ferrari. Probably you'd have to go back quite a way to find a more difficult weekend for Ferrari in recent memory, although I'm sure there are plenty to choose from if you cast your mind back far enough. Yeah, I think it was just a weekend where Ferrari were just scratching their heads. I mean, coming off the back of an incredible result at Monaco, winning that Grand Prix and a solid P3 for Carlos Sainz as well, they looked a distant team from that team this time out in Canada. And you know, you can talk about the changeable conditions, you can talk about the strategy mistakes, you can take all of that away, and the reality is they just did not have the pace. The balance was all over the place. The drivers just never felt comfortable, especially in qualifying, which I think shocked a lot of people as to how far they were off. But I don't think you could really make the justification to say that Ferrari were really ever in the picture this weekend at all for the race win, which is probably the more shocking part, let alone, you know, the mistakes that came afterwards. So yeah, a tough one for Charles Leclerc. Obviously the engine issues that he was having throughout the race was obviously a problem. They did a bit of a control alt delete, by which time they didn't think that would work. That's why they put him on the drier tyres, which we all knew after seeing plenty of drivers over past years when Canada's had those changeable.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Conditions. It never works when you put the dry tyres on that early. I'm sure Yuki Tsunoda and George Russell in the past have done something similar and ended up in the barriers at turn one, so at least Leclerc didn't do that. But yeah, it just never really worked out for him. Carlos Sainz, more shockingly, didn't really have any of those issues, but like Leclerc, just didn't have the pace for whatever reason. So I'm hoping, Tom, in answer to your earlier question, that this is just a one-off for Ferrari. I'm sure it probably will be, but a lot will be said and thought about back at base at Maranello, I'm sure, after this weekend. And hopefully they can put it together to get it right next time out in Barcelona.
Yeah, absolutely. They were my pick to win this weekend. I thought they were going to be the pace setters with McLaren and Red Bull fighting out for the rest of it. But yeah, absolutely nowhere. Bit of a shame for Ferrari. And anyone talking about a championship fight, that championship lead has now doubled. for Max Verstappen once again. It does bring Lando Norris more into that fight, which with the t-shirt I'm currently wearing will surprise no one at all. Makes me very happy. But for a championship fight, that's definitely a bad thing. I think anyone who is saying about a potential championship fight, barring every race being this bad for Red Bull, is not going to happen, I don't think. But let's keep the negativity flowing then, Jonah, as we go to talk about Sergio Perez next. It's another bad race for Red Bull. He never looked like troubling the top 10 today, despite changeable conditions and lots of opportunity. His results have been going backwards, second, third, fourth, eighth, and then two non-classifieds. It was a really, really bad weekend all round. And are Red Bull going to be getting buyer's remorse for this new contract already?
If I were in Red Bull, I'd be getting buyer's remorse. But also then again, if I was in Red Bull, I probably wouldn't have made this decision. Now, there's really one term that I can use to describe Sergio Perez's week, not only his weekend, but his race. And it's just, yeesh, man, that sucked. That is so unfortunate. Like, you have on paper, I don't want to get too colorful, you know, but you have on paper what is the fastest car on the grid. I mean, your teammate just won the race in it. And he's won, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, 50 of the last 75 Grand Prix he started in. Obviously, it's not all in this car. But like, wow, man, you weren't even challenging. Like, you were getting passed by like Haas's on the same tire. You were getting re-overtaken when you make a move. Like, I have never seen, I mean, we have with Sergio before, but like, this was bad. I mean, you're in, like I said, what is the fastest car? You're nowhere to be found. Like, I mean, I think Brundle said it. We had the F1 TV Sky feed over on this side of the pond, but I think Brundle said it. It's like, I kind of forgot he was here. It's like, yeah, man, that's really bad. Like, if you're in what is the fastest car on the grid and the commentator goes, I kind of forgot you were here, like, you're probably not where you should be. Now, me and my buddies are all speculating, you know, why Red Bull? Why'd they keep him? Is it the Merc sales? Is it because he's no contest to Max? I mean, yeah, you want a guy who's not going to contest your number one, but you also want a guy who's not going to cost you $2.5 million in 3 weeks and be nowhere close to scoring a point. Like, this is, I don't know. Sergio is far gone from what he used to be, and he's a great person, and he's obviously, you know, very marketable and all that stuff, but I don't know. I don't know where he was. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he thinks is going on, but that was atrocious. That's all I can say, is that was atrocious.
Yeesh, that's made it into my vocabulary now, definitely. So that's definitely the best description I've ever heard of a Sergio Perez race. Right, so rounding off then, we're going to talk about Williams next, Ruby. And Albon, he was shoved out of the points by what many people believe will be his future teammate. And obviously, Logan Sargeant did what Logan Sargeant does best. How did you see the incident, firstly, with Albon and Sainz and with Sargeant? Can you even see him seeing out the season, or would that be being a bit harsh?
I think with Albon and Sainz, it's such an unfortunate case for Alex Albon, because he can see ahead of him Carlos Sainz is maybe going to have a bit of a spin. He goes to the left instinctually to try and avoid it. And then it's just kind of a bit like how Hulkenberg tried to avoid Perez and Magnussen in Monaco on the first lap. You know, you go to the place that makes the most sense, but just the momentum of the car coming around takes you out. Yeah, it was really unfortunate for Alex Albon. You know, was kind of in my contention for driver of the day up until that point, because he made a super move on two or three cars at once. It was beautiful to watch. And then obviously, like, he has the slight tag with Sainz, such a slow move as well, to say it did so much damage to both cars in the context of the race. But yeah, I do think it was sloppy from Sainz, but I don't think it was penalty worthy. I think, you know, he's got unlucky. He's on the on the wet part of the track that has already just taken out Perez, like, not, I think, a lap ago. I mean, granted, Perez decided to drive around the rest of the circuit to not bring out a safety car, but, you know, yeah. So obviously that incident happened. It took out Albon, cost him the point, which, you know, considering that their closest rivals, I think, actually, no, the closest rivals are Sauber still, who haven't got a point. But the rivals ahead of them, you know, Alpine, managed to get two cars in the points. I don't know what happened there. I don't know how that happened at the end of the day. But yeah, it's not ideal for Williams. And then, you know, to look at the American elephant in the room, you know, not the Canadian, the American elephant, Logan Sargeant, he just really wanted to put it in the barriers this weekend. He did it. He just avoided taking the car out earlier in the race, and then comes and does it a little bit later. And, you know, I think it was his stricken Williams that brought out the first safety car, if I'm not misremembering. My notes are all over the place for this race. But yeah, like it's hard to see him staying to the end of the season. I think there is a bit of truth to the rumours of him being given a sort of put up or shut up, but I also don't think it's in James Vowell's like team ethos to be dropping drivers mid-season. And also the other question, I guess, is who goes in that car, you know, and doesn't do a worse job? You know, do you put a rookie in and risk even more damage in this cost cap era? And, you know, their other drivers, you know, certainly wrecked more parts of the Williams chassis this season. Or do you stick with who you've already got, who is a known quantity, and that known quantity is approaching the barriers backwards a vast rate of knots?
Yeah, I would have agreed with you about the James, how he sets his teams up. But then I remember the time that he took Sargent's car away from him and gave it to Albon when Albon crashed his car. And I think anything is possible. So I'm not.
I also forgot about that when I said it.
I'm not saying it is going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did. Let's put it that way. So there's a few things we didn't talk about during our feed there, which I'm sure we will talk about when it comes to driver of the day. So we're going to move on to that at the moment. So I'll go to you first, Adam. Now, Grid Talk's driver of the day was Lewis Hamilton, but I'm going to ask you all for your opinions there. So, Adam, who have you got for your driver of the day?
Oh, that's a tough shout. I think Lewis is probably a good shout, but I'm going to be a little bit more diplomatic and try to create a conversation piece and say Esteban Ocon is probably a worthy winner. And I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt here because he was supposed to finish P9. But remember, later on in the race, there was an Alpine team radio call to move Gasly ahead of Ocon so that he could attack Ricciardo and, well, not so much Stroll, but Ricciardo for P8. Obviously, Gasly wasn't able to do that. And then they said to Ocon that he would hand the place back. Didn't happen. And let's not forget, guys, this is a driver who is leaving the Alpine team at the end of the season. So a little bit more salt into the wounds for Ocon, who after the race, he was not happy about it. And he expressed his discontent quite emphatically to the broadcasters and the interviewers afterwards. So yeah, I'm going to give him driver of the day. But yeah, he certainly wouldn't be happy to receive that given how the race unfolded to him towards the end.
Yeah, I had the other Alpine as my driver of the day. So yeah, I agree. It's definitely worth a conversation. And I can tell by Jonah's reaction to your comment that he essentially doesn't share your view. So, Jonah, who do you have for driver of the day?
Well, just to give some context behind that reaction, I'm like a known Alpine hater. I can't stand that team, everything that it's worth. But, you know, the fanboy in me wants to go out and say Lando, but I'm not going to do it because, you know what, he had a good race. But I'm going to go out and say it with Lance Stroll, man. I love it that he's in the points. I'm so happy that the guy put it in there. In front of the home crowd, he was ripping a Formula 4 Tim Hortons liveried car at a drive-through earlier this week. I'm in full Canadian patriotic swing. I'm going with my boy Lance. Driver of the day, P7. What a guy. Love it. Awesome.
And they say it's the British press that are biased. Okay, and Ruby, who do you have for driver of the day?
I'm going to go for that British bias and, you know, agree with the Grid Talk consensus of Lewis Hamilton as driver of the day. I did make this decision like before he lost the podium position, like with two laps to go. But when I was trying to then re-decide on someone else, you know, my mind went to Esteban Ocon as, you know, an Alpine who went from last to points. But at the same time, then, you know, he'd lost. I actually missed the Alpine team orders, so that probably would have actually influenced my decision. But I was thinking, oh, he's ended up behind his teammate, so, you know, despite the fact he was the Alpine ahead. But to me, like, sort of Lewis Hamilton's race was the one with the fewest mistakes of the top four. You know, no one really had a perfect race in this scenario. Like, I think Lewis also went off like more than twice, but, you know, it kind of so close to that 11th Montreal podium, you know, a circuit that he absolutely adores. And I think it would have been a drive that would have deserved it. But, you know, I think with the added knowledge of the fact that there was a team order in there, I think I'd also then probably retroactively give it to Esteban.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the radio call either. I have to admit, I tune out pretty much after the checker flag. But that's an interesting situation that the race we've had has been so kind of up and down and changeable that
we've had four different people from this panel voted for driver of the day, and none of them was the driver who I probably think probably deserved it the most, as he was potentially cheated out of a win by a safety car. So no nominations at all for my boy Lando, and that's a bit of a shocker for me. So I'm going to say that Aidan, our producer, has voted for Lando Norris just to get the top five there. So that is podcast for the day there. So Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search for Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows, with previews and reactions to qualifying and results. And also, if you could give us a like and subscribe, and once you click the bell, then you'll know when we go live. So please do that, and you'll know when episodes first come out. And please consider supporting us on Patreon as well to get better mics, lights, and recording equipment. Yes, so thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast today, presented by Bet Online, and we will see you again soon for more F1 content.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories, but your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ah, the sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month, experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. What makes eHarmony so special? You. No, really. The profiles and conversations are different on eHarmony, and that's what makes it great. eHarmony's compatibility quiz brings out everyone's personality on their profile and highlights similarities on your discovery page, so it's even easier to start a conversation that actually goes somewhere. So what are you waiting for? Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.